CliffCentral.com.
Give it
time. In the meantime,
give it.
Action by the place to be.
Give it.
I'm just gonna keep quiet on this one.
In the meantime,
we've got these studio guests who are singing as well. Come, please, Kalemo, please, please, please.
Yes,
we this guys, is your debut. This is your debut. You know,
man, we've left this life behind.
In the meantime,
no. Bad song.
I'm just waiting to start the show. I think this is great. This is fine.
I've got stories about this song.
Oh, what stories do you have about this song? What stories do you have about this song?
This song is quite interesting. So this song is quite ratchet.
Very.
In what sense, Rory?
In many ways.
Help us, English folk.
I've been telling you to learn the black languages. This is one of those moments where you miss out. But yeah, this song is particularly apt for the conversation we're going to have because it speaks to trashiness. It's a song that I've seen a man, a very organized, composed man. At a party saying to me, look, I don't dance. You're not going to see me on the dance floor. And we're having a very solid conversation throughout this party. And then the song comes on.
Yeah.
And this man is like, hey, this track,
gets in your feels, eh?
All inhibition is gone. That thing.
Gone.
Finish.
Simon Anonke, welcome to Frankly Speaking. It's 1 hour of, I suppose, just discussions about him and it and the rest. We're speaking about men are trash still. Last week we spoke to a woman. This week it's brothers in conversation. Rory, why are we having this conversation?
So last week, after having a conversation around how should men respond to men are trash, we got quite a robust backlash, I think, on social media from a lot of our listeners who said, you know what, you men just took over the conversation and you're not listening and so on. And we said, okay. Then I decided to go and attend an event that was hosted by one of our guests, Katleho, in Pretoria, which was also discussing men are trash.
Mm-hmm.
And in that very forum, I asked a lot of the same questions that we asked on the show. And I got the backlash. I got a lashing of my life.
The wrong side of history.
And it's students, so it's students. And so it's students. So they, oh my goodness, they went after me. And a number of the things they said is that it's not our job as women to educate men.
Mm-hmm.
Men should be sitting with men and having their conversations, and they should figure out how to do this and stop policing our feelings and all of that kind of stuff. And we thought, you know what? Maybe it's time for brothers to come into conversation, and let's just have a conversation as brothers and say, okay, we are expected to have conversation amongst ourselves. So let's talk, but let's have a frank conversation in the spirit of the show. Let's not talk in sort of high terms,
academic words,
and saintly things as men, as outies. Face to face, heart to heart, let's have a conversation around the fact that we've been having this conversation for a very long time. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, just like apartheid, there are no men who qualify as trash. So they will only admit to being trash in the sense that yes, men systemically are a problem, but all of us now, all of a sudden, are saying, but it's not me. They're just friends I need to call out.
Right.
Right. Now, if we all have friends that we need to call out, but it's not us that are the problem, then who's friends with who exactly?
Guilty by association.
But I'm friends with Andrew, so I know I've got friends to call out. I count Andrew. I count.
He's not calling
you've
me
been
out,
called out.
I call out Katleho, who's a guest. I call out Komotso, who's on the line. Those are my friends. So, so, but they will also say that they're not the problem, but they have friends to call out and they'll include me. So, so all of a sudden now we've all disappeared, the people that are actually trashy. So let's have a heart to heart. What's going on? Where are we? And then let's talk about what do we do moving forward to actually remove all of these things that continue to perpetuate trash.
Now, it of course it wouldn't be an isibaya if we didn't have some elders in the room as well. So we've got Mbuyiselo Buerta, who's at the... Please, Mbuyiselo, you must tell me your new title, because you're so hardcore these days that I can I can't even keep up.
He's at the Gender Commission now.
That's right, you're at the Gender Commission, aren't you?
Yes, with the Commission for Gender Equality, which is one of the Chapter 9 institutions set up in this country to support deepen our democracy.
And what is your role there? Are you the head of it?
Well, no, I'm one of the commissioners.
Okay.
We're about 11 commissioners with different provinces. So yes, I'm one of the peers there. Yeah.
We need to also welcome Khumotso Ntuli, joins us on the line as well. Khumotso, dumelang ntate.
Dumelang, Rana. How are you?
Hello, guy.
Good stuff. And greetings to everyone else involved there. It's great to hear Ntate Mbuyiselo on the line.
Hi, Khumotso. Hi,
ntate.
Thank you so much.
No, this has become very formal. People are calling each other ntate. So I really expect to be called ntate myself.
That's got nothing to do with age. in the African context, it's a sign of respect.
Absolutely.
To do with age, it's like actually, I say to my daughters, meh, the guy meh, or you know, but they are my daughters. So just correct and put in perspective. It has nothing to do with one's age, you know.
And
it
is a sign
of respect.
I think that's an important context builder for this conversation, because I think it's about us as brothers having a conversation, a very open and frank conversation, because you know, we have all of these different conversations and they're nice, and we play to the gallery, right? We play and we perform and we say all the right things, and then we continue we continue to see these things perpetuated in society. So today we just want to have that. That's why we started with Hibidi, because it just breaks the ice. Everybody is on the same level. We've been brought down. So I think let's kick it off, guys. You know, last week we had a...
Have you introduced our in-store guest?
Such a disrespect. I know. Really? Yes. I mean...
He has introduced himself.
He's not...
Himself.
Also need to win.
joining us in studio is Ntate Katleho Mokgase. Katleho, quite interestingly, he set up a conversation last week that I attended at the Elim Church, Elim Full Gospel Church in Pretoria, which was quite interesting to see this conversation happening inside a church, and for the F word and so on to be used within that context as just an indication of how seriously women feel about this issue. And I just, you know, I was quite impressed with Katleho for setting that up, but for that church as a whole under Pastor Emmanuel Landman for creating a space for that, for such a conversation to happen. It's not a churchy conversation to have, but they created that space. So I think it would be, and he's also been quite a vocal person around this particular issue, has been on a number of TV shows about it. So
okay, can we finish up the introductions here? Tell me when we can get into this. I brought Khumotso specifically onto the show because I want him to be politically incorrect. He knows what he needs to do here. Mbuyiselo, maybe to start, I'm sorry, Rory, I've hurt your feelings. I apologize. Will you ever forgive me? Silence. Mbuyiselo, maybe to start with you. You've been dealing with gender issues your whole life. The men are trash hashtag comes about 2 weeks ago or last week. How do you feel about it? What's your initial reaction to it?
Let's put it in a context. Men are trash. It is in fact. It's not about individual men. It's about us as a social group. And I want to draw in an analogy with the American concept that they are saying that black lives matter in America. And you've had white liberals who retorted by saying that, no, in fact, all lives matter. But the reality is that in America, it is black men who are killed. It is black men who are feeling the prison. and they are in the minority, but they're in the majority in the prison. So when women said and they're saying men are trash, they are not talking about us as individuals. So I think I want to foreground this discussion by acknowledging that it is in fact a deep seated cry for help. It is a deep seated cry for hopelessness. And where women are saying that, because Rodisang, Buiselo, Komuto, Andrew, our lived experiences are such that I don't walk around at 12 midnight looking over my shoulder that I'll be raped. But every day, every minute in this country, women go out, look over their shoulder, who's whistling, who's behind them. So these are not just subjective, but these are lived experiences of women on a daily basis where they are violated. So men are trash. It is in fact a call to action. It's in the same way, Andrew. It's in the same way, Andrew, when we said during the struggle against apartheid, we said that there were white people who we knew that the Joyce Logos, the Bell Snodio of Israel, the Helen Joseph of Israel, the Narim Kodima, the Lindsay Logos. And the argument has always been that when you say white people are oppressors, we were talking about them as a social group, but we knew that the Abraham Fisher of this world had sacrificed their lives for the betterment, for the liberation of this country. So I think that, colleagues, it's important to have that context and foregrounding it, understanding that women go through a peculiar oppression that you and I will not begin to even countenance, all of us in the studio and myself. We would not even get closer to understand what they go through. You know,
Ntate Mbuiso, let me interject you there, because I think for me this is part of the bigger problem with this conversation and how men have this conversation, is that we continue to say they're not speaking about you as an individual, they're speaking about the broader system. But when that happens, it means I remove individual accountability from this. I begin to look at it as a systemic issue. And that is why what we are observing, again, within the community of brothers, is some of the biggest voices on this, male voices on this particular topic, are people that we know as gents on the street. They live trashy lives. But for the sake of the audience, they will say the right things and they will continue to speak about it as a systemic issue. Should we not be saying no when they say that men are trash? They're speaking about me as an individual. What do we say as gents about this? Komodzo.
But you see, sorry, I have a pleasure.
Okay.
I need to leave at half past.
Go ahead, Ntate Mbuiso.
Now I was saying that. And this would be, I think, my final thought on the matter, is that I think that it's called to action for all of us. And when they say, when I say that it's not about individuals, what I mean is that it says that these individuals, for all of us, that it's important to be reflective and say, but what is my role as an individual, as a group? So it's a call to all of us, and for me it's a sobering call that says that there's a need for us both at individual level, as a group, to say that I'll be my brother's keeper. I will speak out, I will not fold my arms. Those are my thoughts on it, yeah.
Thanks, Ntate Mbuiso. Let's bring the other guys into this conversation. Gents, so we've got that context, but then it comes into the arena of us as gents sitting around the table, having a cold drink, talking about this. How did you guys feel? So without being politically correct about it, Katleho, when this thing hit you, you've basically played on the right side of this conversation, so to speak. Mm. Yes. And I'm like, okay, was that an instinctive thing? Was that an obvious thing that this is the space you need to occupy? Andrew, on the other hand, has played a very angelic thing. He's been very also on the very right side, saying all the right things and so on.
Yeah, yeah. Speak for yourself.
He's been saying all the right things. When I probed him and said, but why are you like,
why are you like this?
Why are you like this? Yeah. Because I know you. You're my brother. Yeah. Why are you like this?
Yeah.
He said, hey, you know, I am not sure that I can speak
point of order
on this particular topic. Komotso is also my brother. And he tends to be on the right side of this conversation as well. So am I the only one for whom this entire thing was not an obvious thing?
Look, I don't think that maybe let me say that there's no right side, man. Contrary to popular belief, there's a side that's more socially acceptable, and there's a side that's not so acceptable. The side that's not so acceptable to a lot of people is the side that says not all men, right? That's a side that people get lambasted for and all of those things. But I think for me, having grown up seeing abuse happen right in front of me, you know, with people in the street and that, and you were too young to do anything, that really impacted me for my whole life. Mm. And so when a hashtag like this, when situations like this came up, I mean, I was the first guy to say, no, I agree. Mm. Because I've seen guys do dodgy things, and I've seen guys tell their friends about how dodgy they are and celebrate each other's dodginess over drinks. Mm. And that for me is a problem, because I think that at the base of it, it's behavioral. And these behaviors are not going to change unless we actually hold each other accountable. And we say, hey, Andrew, that thing you did to your girlfriend is just not right, bro. Mm. You know, because this hashtag began about infidelity, you know, and it escalated to abuse and murder. And it happens that we are speaking today when Sandy Lemantu is being, you know, sort of applying for bail. On this. So I don't know whether we'll ever get it right if we don't have these conversations among gents.
Ntate Mbuyiselo, because you're about to leave, let me put this to you. Somebody who is, let's say, your brother generationally, the minister Jeff Radebe has just done some trashy behavior that has been publicized. How do you hold him to account? So let's not talk in gender commission terms and so on. Outie to outie. Have you had the conversation with him, and how do you at that level, because it's clearly not something that is just us younger ones that have a problem with, it's clearly something that's happening even in the older generations. How do you hold that man to account?
I think that
Have we lost Mr. Bosa?
He's gone, unfortunately. I'm interested, sorry to interrupt, you know, and maybe we bring Komotso in here. Komotso, we speak about how we should hold our brothers to account. How do we hold each other to account? How do we hold ourselves to account? That's more important. I think the other, you know, blaming the other always takes the accountability away. Rory's saying that I'm being angelic. I'm not being angelic. I think I'm being more reflective and introspective about my personal behavior.
Andrew?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Sorry, the line just gets a bit choppy, but I can hear you. Yeah, you see?
So I was just saying, how do we hold ourselves together? What have we done wrong? What have you done wrong, specifically as a man in society? Can you give us a little bit of feelings around maybe some introspection you've done over the last little while about what you've personally done wrong and how you perpetuate the cycles of men are trash, or patriarchy for that matter?
So I think there's been interesting views, and it's unfortunate that I couldn't hear a lot of what Ntate Mbuyiselo has been saying. But let me just start with the last part of what you were saying. I think Roru was asking about Minister Khatebe's issues with nudes and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Is it clear?
Yeah.
Yeah. So first, let me just say that infidelity is not necessarily
My goodness, we lost him at
the both women have adequate capacity to do this.
Komotso, said that again. You said infidelity is not what?
it's not just a men thing. Both men and women are equally capable of engaging in that, right? However, there's a crucial part that infidelity is accepted when it's done by men. And it's frowned upon, and there's a whole lot of issues that come up when it's done by women. So I'll give an example. There's a, maybe just to say that there's a book by Njabulo Ndebele where he was talking about the cry of Winnie, right? And in the book he was talking about women and waiting. So just in the in our recent past, we had men going to the mines in Johannesburg and all those things, and we got here and we played around, and some of us had kids and did all sorts of things, and then when we got back home, it was expected that the women will accept that. However, if anything close to that was to be done by the woman, the whole marriage would probably be over, so to say. So it's one thing to hold a person who's found to have not been his wife as a man, but it's also another thing to realize that it can be done from both sides. So what we're dealing with is not only men engaging in this thing, but you're dealing with a social system that allows us to do these things and be allowed to do them and without consequence, if that kind of makes sense.
I get you. Let's talk about you as an individual. How did this particular issue hit you? And if you look around at your fellow brothers and so on, how did it hit them? Because for me, I think a big challenge around this conversation is we can go on and speak about, and there are a number of us in this conversation who've been involved in politics, and we know that you can speak from the point of view of what should happen, but if you don't start at the point where people are right now, you're not going to be successful, because you're creating an idealized state, but people don't live in that idealized state. And I feel like this conversation is also very much happening in that way. We're speaking about what men should do without understanding where they are. So when this thing hits you as a man and within a community of other men, what exactly were your initial feelings, and what are you seeing around you around where men are in this, whether they're rightly or wrongly there, where are men on this particular issue as a generalization?
Sure. So let me just say this, Rory. So there's two parts. You were talking about the individual versus the group, right? I think some people within this conversation will know that I've been involved in gender-related work for a while. I mean, I've worked with the Ndatembu Isel on certain things. And this is a conversation we've had for a long time, to say the crux of the matter is not just when there's rape or there's abuse and all. It's a question about what views do we have around me and the woman involved in my life with regards to roles and things like those. And I mean, I always say the story that I grew up in a house where we all did the work in the home, right? It was three of us, my sister and my brother, and we all shared those tasks. It was at the point where some of my friends were like, why is your sister not cooking and you are cooking when she's around? And so I think an unfair advantage, at least for me, is that I got exposed to the issue from the other side, and not where I had this like put into my head that I am the man, I'm the leader. Of course, I'm part of that system, and I'm privileged in that sense, because be related to my manhood and not necessarily to me as a person. So, I mean, I'm not trying to complicate this, but I'm just saying that it's not as simplistic as saying that when I get to a restaurant, the lady or the gentleman that would be serving us would expect that I have to pay, and at that point I don't have money, and the lady that who is, even when it's expected of me. And the question is, what does that do to me as a man in that relationship? The things about you, Rory, is that
go ahead, you're about to tell me about me. This always gets interesting.
I'm saying that one of the things about you is wanting to simplify what is often a bit of a complex thing. And I struggle a bit with that because I trying to look at it from a systematic point of view.
But isn't this the thing? And Komotso, we're just going to drop you so we can get you on another line because we're struggling with your line. But maybe guys help me. Maybe then I am the problem. And let's then sit around the table around me as a case study, because Komotso is saying I try and simplify things that are very complex. But then I believe I am the archetype of every man out there. So to the extent that I am doing this, it's probably then a lot of men then are looking at this. We're not engaging. We haven't been involved in gender issues and so on. So we don't understand this above the point of how it makes me feel. And for me, the challenge has been how I engage in this conversation. It's been very difficult to try and engage and be told sit down and shut up. Like, oh, but I don't understand. Hey, shut up, sit down, listen. So then I'm like, okay, but do you want me to be involved in this thing or not? No, we want you involved, but shut up and sit down. That's just, I'm being plain and honest, true to all of you and saying, this is the challenge that I'm having in this conversation. So then as a guy, how then must I be engaging, because I'm the only one that for this thing wasn't obvious for. Andrew is just pleading the fifth, and that's fine. But
why are you being like this? Why are you being like this, Rory? Just because I said that thing in the beginning of this show, and now you like this, Rory.
Help me as a guy, and I'm saying I don't get elements of this. And so you're failing to engage me. So where I should be listening, I'm not listening. I'm simply disengaging.
I think that, you know, I think two things. Number one, every single sort of struggle or revolution, as it were, different phases, right? And we're at the anger phase. I think we're moving out of it, but last week, the week before that, we're definitely at the anger phase. And women have been at that phase for a very long time. But it's now so palpable in the sense that any kind of let's sit down, let's engage, let's come up with solutions,
it's not that time.
It's not that time. It's almost as if you are diminishing the anger and saying it's not worth anything. And so maybe that's the place where we need to be, because I was on the wrong side during Fees Must Fall.
So now there's a wrong side.
As it were. because when people were striking during Fees Must Fall and all of that, I was saying, but why are we not engaging the minister? And they said, you don't understand our anger. You don't. And we get it. Now I've learned from that there's an anger phase, and we must completely empathize with women and actually acknowledge our faults during this anger phase. And not that this is a phase in the sense of diminishing it, it'll pass, oh wow. But when we get to the constructive engagement phase, that's when we can actually have these conversations and say, is this going to assist us? How do we get men on board? Because men, unfortunately, are going to continue with the anger phase when women are starting to engage. And that will be the problem.
That's a problem.
Because now men are starting to say, no, not all men. No, actually, I treat my wife right. And then the women retort with, but how about your brothers? Do you keep them accountable? Then, actually, what happens in our minds is that we go to those good guys. And we're like, I don't have friends that are dodgy. What do you mean I must keep people accountable? And then your female friends have to remind you, no, but there's an uncle in your family that's doing 1, 2, 3. There's a friend in you, in your circles, that's doing 1, 2, 3. You all know that he's doing this, but you're not calling him out. And all of a sudden, then, not all men. And then men walk out of the conversation.
I think it's interesting. No, Khomotso, please. Now we've got you on a line.
Yeah, the line is much better now. But I think just on what you're saying, Katleho, the idea of treating my woman right, what does that look like? What does that mean?
Exactly.
You understand what I mean? So the issue is, my premise is that we live in a patriarchal society.
Yeah.
And even the idea of treating the woman right can be flawed, even when it looks like it's okay in this society. So first, I think I've decided with one of the brothers in the conversation that the man is not necessarily the head of the family. That's the fact. And once we get that clear, that would be where we start to look for a way forward. But so long as we still have the idea of the man as the head of the family, and linked to that being that he has to be the provider. I mean, providing men, he's the only provider, of course. So he would
ensure that the family is taken care of. That's part of what we consider treating them right. However, in the current economic setting, you're not likely to have a man who's heading the family in the traditional sense that where he has been expected to be the good man. So fathers in the recent past would be guys that bring a lot of money home, and then the wife would take care of the kids, would clean the house, would do all of these things. That's part of being a good man. So I'm sorry that I had to interject when you were still saying that, but I'm just trying to understand what do you mean.
So the brother you're referring to is me, obviously. So in the interest of transparency, let's just be clear, you're talking about me. And I actually want to come back to this issue around the man being the head of the household from a religious Christian perspective, because 70% of the country is Christian, and so that worldview will continue to and you're saying, Khumotso, that it's problematic. I want to come back to it. I want us to talk though about, okay, so as individual men, we are supposed to then be calling each other out, right? Most of the men that I'm seeing, guys, to be honest, are not engaging with this topic, right? They've been turned off. From the moment you said men are trash, they've been turned off. So how do you bring those guys into the conversation? Because what I'm seeing happening is the guys who are acknowledging are guys who were already sort of aware and conscious. But the guys who haven't been conscious or haven't really been aware or engaged continue to be disengaged. And part of the question is, how do you get those guys on board if you continue to scream at them? My experience has been that I go into a conversation, I say, okay, I'm making myself available for this conversation. The moment I ask a question, you don't want me to ask a question. The moment I try and speak, you don't want me to speak. Then it's like, oh, geez, okay. I might as well leave. Why am I here, right? It's a classic generalization. Is a classic man, because I've tested this out, and men are like, you know, if you're going to scream at me, why should I be here? And so what is it that must drive me to remain in the conversation when my views within this conversation are not considered important? And I understand the thing that we're in different phases, but this thing is a systemic thing. At which point are we all going to get all the men on board and say, okay, we've now all acknowledged the anger, let's move on to... You see, it becomes complex. You see, I'm now acknowledging the complexity. It becomes complex when we deal about it in group formation. So help me out. How do we bring guys who are like, hey, you know, as long as there's the screaming and anger, because you're angry, I understand. Be angry. When you're finished, call me and then we can talk.
I think you're making a lot of assumptions, Raw, and that's where it all starts to go wrong. Like, we assume that we need this to be in this conversation. You know, like, no, I think that's the problem, right? And the reason I'm being quiet is not because it's because I've done this before in a weird way, because I'm a white male as well. So these conversations are new to me about where you need to sit.
White trash.
Exactly. Sure. I'm white trash. You know, I'm privileged, I'm so on and so on. So it's not a situation of, oh, I'm being angelic. I'm just no how this goes. And the first thing, you know, Kalejo is 100% right. This is not about you. They don't want to include you in this. It's about unifying women in a voice of anger. It's against you, but it's not about you, right? And there's a difference here.
Come on.
And so I think...
Come on, somebody.
Well, that's the first time I've ever been clicked for. That's amazing. This feels good. Eh? Like, I should try this out more often. But I think the point is to say, hey, man, you're not alone in this. Women are... Like, the problem with abuse, the problem with patriarchy is often the abuser, the person who this is against, feels alone, feels like they are the problem. Yeah. And actually, this whole women are trash. How's that? Men are trash is a situation of saying, hey, hold on a second, you're not alone. You feel like this. I also feel like this. I also feel like this. So Rory coming in and saying, hey, I'm sitting here, I'm making myself available, immediately feels like you're the king, making yourself available to the people. And I'm not saying it's just you, Rory. I'm saying it's all of us, right? We are making ourselves available to hear the plight, the cries of the poor people, of the masses, of the this. And the masses are going, we don't care if you're here to hear us or not. We're just going to make noise right now because we're angry.
Yeah.
Right? This is where we're at. This is where we sit at the moment in the conversation. I think that one must be careful about my silence in this conversation, not being about being angelic. It's about being introspective, right?
But it's also about fear, Andrew. Let's be honest. You are afraid of saying certain things. No, because you and I have had conversations about this. It's also about fear. And my concern about the conversation is that there are a lot of men who just won't speak because of fear.
But we should be afraid.
And yeah, no. But like, you see what fear does is it suppresses the things that we should be getting engaged and held accountable about. Right?
Absolutely. But I think that at this point, you know, I may differ with Khomotso on a few things, and we'll get to where we differ. But for me, what's important is that we need to be very afraid, gentlemen. We need to be afraid of the society that we are actually one day possibly going to bring children into, where women have to walk and look behind their backs and stuff like that. I mean, I've had my own mother say to me, "I am scared." And this is an older woman say, "Look, I'm very scared because there are boys around here who are doing dodgy things, and I don't know how it is that I should maneuver that." And I need to acknowledge, firstly, her fear. I need to acknowledge the fear of my wife. I need to acknowledge the fear of all of these other women in my life. But also, I need to be available to the fact that, okay, maybe Rorisang and Khomotso Katleho go to a community and speak to the young boys there. Leave these women alone. Mm. Let's leave them alone. Let's have a conversation with the boys in Mamelodi. Next week, let's go to the boys in Sandton. Mm. The following week, let's go to the boys wherever.
Let me challenge you. You are saying all the right things, but you've twisted slightly what I said. Right? Okay. I said men should be afraid at a societal level. I worry if my sister says she's going out in the middle of the night. I worry because I'm scared at a societal level.
Sure.
But scared in this conversation and the ability to air how I genuinely feel, which might be wrong, to genuinely so that's where I'm talking about the fear. The fear in this conversation, is it right that men should be afraid to air how they feel in this conversation so that they can be held accountable? If I don't air what the issues are, you can't hold me accountable.
Exactly.
And then I continue living and we all assume everything is fine until the wrong moment and I send an SMS and say, "Show me your CLIT."
Yeah.
Right? You see, so
clear leadership in transformation. I think we shouldn't be afraid, man. And I've said this even at the dialogue that I hosted, that there's some stuff that Vele we're going to say as men that we need to say. Mm. And unfortunately, if, again, going back to the place where we are, the phase where we are of this quote-unquote revolution doesn't allow us to say those things. We're going to get to the place where we're able to say, but how do I?
So hold yourself.
Basically. For now, just hold the placard that says men are trash and move and go. And then there'll be a time where they say, okay, Nina, or not all men, come, let's hear what you are saying. And then we'll be able to do something about it. You know, then we'll be able to say, okay, I can be a mentor. I can contribute my time. I can this, that, or the other. And actually, the other thing that Andrew seems to have alerted me to is that politicians should be taking a hint from this men are trash, right? Mm. Because if people are crazy about a certain issue and you come in with, so you look like you don't empathize. You can't hear what they're saying. So you need to be there. Mm. Shut up and listen.
Mm. This is actually raising another issue around entitlement, that you feel entitled to your opinion at any point in the conversation, right? As I have been behaving. Now let me flip that around, and this is on record. It will be on record forever. So I'm going to get crucified.
Be careful. This will come back to you.
One day I will be crucified for this.
I was not part of the show.
You see how Andrew is behaving. You see the point. It's so. I am not entitled to a woman's body. That I agree with 100%. I am not entitled to airing my opinion at this moment in time. I am beginning to understand that.
Sure.
Are women entitled to my undivided attention throughout this period?
Khomotso?
Rory, can you just run that again? I need to get the what you say.
You are
starting to understand that you're not entitled to the woman's body.
No. I said I am not entitled to a woman's body. I get that, right?
Okay.
I am beginning to understand that I am not entitled to expressing my opinion at any moment in this particular conversation. I'm beginning to understand that through this conversation, right?
Yeah.
Now I ask, are women in this moment entitled to my undivided attention? And I ask this because of this thing that, again, I'm thinking about all of my brothers that I'm seeing and how they're engaging in this topic, and they are not engaging. They are not, maybe, you know, whether right or wrong, the way that is being presented or whatever is not really engaging them. So if I want them to engage in this conversation, I need to frame it in a way that's going to begin to engage them. Are women then, or should we be saying to those guys, you know what, right now you should be listening and paying undivided attention, irrespective of how you feel?
Is it okay if I just flip it a little and be a bit, controversial or something?
As long as you answer the question and don't try and flip it into something it's not. Go ahead.
No, let's put it like this. How would you, general, amongst us, how would it feel if a woman came to you and said, you know what, I like you, I want us to hit it off? Oh, would that be awkward?
Let's
put it in another way. You're sitting at a restaurant somewhere and the lady's like, you know what, I like you, I would actually love to have sex with you.
I don't know, I'd be taken aback, but I don't think I would be offended. I might say, hey, you know, slowly, tiger, or something like that.
The reason why I'm mentioning this is that three kind of interlinked institutions that lead to these perceptions, right? The one is religion. The second is what we call culture. And both of those have the whole patriarchal notions of how we relate and friends, didn't they? So the one part is that the men will initiate the relationship, right? Now, from different levels of society, different people will take rejection in different ways, right? And what you see that, and this does not start when we are having a conversation on the radio or when we are much older. It starts on how we grow these young boys. So the same way in which you're saying, my sisters are scared to walk on the road, what we taught guys about being the superior conquerors or hunters is what leads to that. You know, these funny comments, this whistling when you are walking around, that does not include the fact that the woman can equally do it. And my premise is that those notions, I mean, if you think that you're not entitled to a body, but then is she entitled to, it's a one-sided conversation, right? It takes the assumption that there is an element of some kind of entitlement, right? And we are realizing that now. And my point is that there are a number of institutions that ensure that, efficiently so, ensure that view is perpetuated, and we agreed with it. And I can tell you that there are a number of men who are holding the Men at Fresh placard at that march, who went back home and expected that there will be food on the table that is prepared by the wife, so to say.
Khumotso, I'm very interested by what you're saying, because I wanted to bring up the whole cultural vibe. Of course, being a white male and having no culture, this is an interesting outsider's perspective. Your thoughts on how to be a, I suppose, a woke male, but not go against your culture. How do you frame that? It sounds like you're walking proof that it is possible. How are you dealing with that?
What do we define as culture? Do we define this thing as a, let's remember that the man as the conqueror comes from back at that time when our muscles ensured survival. Our muscles ensured that there would be food brought home. The economy has changed over time. I mean, culture comes from like where we've been and how we respond to the environment, essentially. No?
Dada Khumotso, can I chip in here? Is it... Maybe let me come from the religious perspective
on this
culture.
Yes.
So I'm married, right? Both of us are Christian. And we subscribe to the view that a man is head of the home and the woman ought to submit. I think you don't necessarily agree with that, and you may call it patriarchal. Now, let me perhaps put the situation to you that there is an obligation on man in the Christian tradition to love his wife as Christ loved the church. So in the sense that I should be able to sacrifice my very being to die for this woman. And that in and itself creates a love space where she would be able to be led. Now, I don't lord it over her, because I think a lot of people have missed that part right before in this Ephesians that they quote, to say, she must be submitted to me as I must be submitted to her, right? And that's the only woman that should submit to any kind of man. Woman on the street, woman in a CEO position who's not married to anyone, does not have to submit to anybody.
Katlego, my dear brother, let me just be honest with you.
Here it comes. You want a drum roll?
No. So what is it that makes you the head of the house?
What is it that makes me the head of the house?
Yeah, one. The fact that she was she came from your rib, or what is it? You're the provider, you protect, what? You fight what is it?
I think that if you follow the Christian tradition, that is a role that is given to specifically husbands. That's the only, and it's given by a God who then we both believe in. That's simply it. I can't expect anyone who doesn't subscribe to the Christian tradition to even note any kind of head of house argument. And I'd fully agree with them. If anyone says that, but I don't understand this thing, I don't get it, I don't believe in it, then, I mean, the argument sort of falls away. Am I making sense?
I think we're in a good space, because much as I'm not Christian, I do spend quite a bit of time studying the book, you know, there's a kind of setting in which some of these views were developed. I've given this example to a number of people, that why is it that at the height of Jesus Christ's teaching, his crew, his cabinet, his disciples were all men, right? At that time, I mean, one could say that, they may have been like all male disciples, but there were a lot of views of women that were included there and there. What I'm saying is that a number of the teachings that we find in the Bible, and I'm just being frank when it comes to this, a number of the teachings that we find in there were in a society that was patriarchal, right? And they're reflected there. I mean, of course, we'll differ in how those views that are held in the Bible and in many religious institutions came about, whether it was the word of our dear Lord and that inspired the people who were writing there, or if this were political views that were governing a society that had those kinds of institutions. But without us hearing of a lot, what I'm trying to say is that we will struggle. We will struggle to get this right if we still want to hold on to the head of the household argument. The head of the household argument is fundamentally linked to emasculated men who feel like they're nothing. And I can tell you right now that if you're the head of the household, at the least you should provide for the house, right?
I think maybe where I'm coming from with sort of the spiritual argument on all of this is that society demands so little of people living in the age that we do, right? That, for instance, the concept of being my brother or sister's keeper, for me, is a biblical one. The concept of trying to protect any other lady in the street as your sister is a biblical one. And so the standard that I would hold any man who subscribes to the Christian view is much higher than anyone else who does not. And so in this conversation of men are trash, perhaps as the church, when we get to the engagement phase, we're able to say, okay, we have solutions, but the solutions are found perhaps in Jesus, and in trying to make sure that we understand, number one, that Jesus is also a feminist, but we'll get to that topic another day.
I feel like you guys are starting an entirely new show.
What's happening? We have to bring it back as the broadcasters here.
Yeah, I love it. I love the conversation, but it's almost like, wow, I mean, you said, you know, a number of solid punches were landed Jesus is a feminist, this thing of, you know, but yeah, there were no women as part of the disciples. These are all very interesting conversations. I think what it boils down to is that where did all these problematic behaviors within society and within our own behaviors emanate from? Now, the question, guys, is, so what do we do? We don't have a lot of time, and maybe it's another sign of the problem is we have enjoyed having this huge conversation when we're only going to leave the last 5 minutes to actually, practically, what does that mean for the four guys in this conversation and any other guys? But also, not just in engaging with other brothers, but also in engaging with women. Komotso, who has been on the right side of this conversation, as it were, used a very problematic term in the context of the conversation. He said, let's talk about our woman or your woman. So he spoke as if it's a possessive thing. So it's quite interesting that we all have elements of it. And I don't think we entered this conversation because we wanted to show how perfect we are. It's all a journey. So how do we proceed along this journey for all of us? What must happen? Komotso and then Katleo.
Quick one. Rory, I'm going to go back to this interview or whatever you call it and find out if I accept my woman or the woman that I'm with. But even then, it's contextual. One thing that we need to do is understand that we are not in any way superior, however subtle that we would be believing in that. So we need to accept that we are not the leaders in this whole thing. And that's a vulnerable state because it questions the whole institution of manhood, at the least in a heterosexual setting, and what that looks like in the family, in terms of gender roles, in terms of finances, in terms of decision making, in terms of leadership.
Komotso, share the how. So yes, that's true, but how? What practically do I go and do?
I think inherent in what I'm saying, Gori, is first I'll give the example of the idea of, I don't know, initiation of relationships. You don't have to be the one that is initiating it in the first place. Mm. And I'm using this as simple things because they are key. They are key aspects of the institution of patriarchy. I can't pin it down to 1, 2, 3 points because there's so many of them.
Yeah,
it's okay for you to wash the dishes. It's okay for you to clean the house, right? Mm. It doesn't have to be that you will do it when you have the time or when you have... If you guys have a child, it's okay for you to take care of the child whilst at work and those kinds of things.
Without calling it babysitting.
Exactly. Mm. Absolutely well put. Mm.
Let's get Katleho. Katleho, practically for it to me and you... What do we do moving forward? What are the practical things that Rory... You've seen where Rory is in this conversation, and he's a problem.
Yeah.
How do we move him beyond where he is into becoming part of the solution?
I think that Rory and Katlao and Andrew and Komotso, all of us have to perhaps sit and listen for now. And after sitting and listening, number two, go to our own communities where there are young boys and tell them that, look, this woman is not a possession of yours. There's nothing that you need to do to own her or whatever, and treat her better. This is how you should
treat
her.
What about the older men? Because they are part of the problem and they are the one, they're the role models. So what must we do with them?
We just need to speak truth. We need to speak truth to them and say, this is how you handle it.
You know African culture. How easy
Screw
is that?
Screw that thing.
So we just need, go like to your father and just tell him, poor pa.
We need to... and that's perhaps the shock change that we need in this conversation, because we can't afford to have other older men high-fiving the Sandile Mantsos of this world for killing the Garabos of the world.
Or Jeff Khadebe.
Or Jeff Khadebe, for that matter. Mm.
Andrew Lee.
What do you want from me? What do you want from me now? Like, this guy.
Where does this land? You're very jittery, my friend.
No, I'm fine. I think you're egg dancing. I'm not egg dancing. I think the what this 2 weeks has created for me is a space of introspection. Because, for example, I think the obvious is women abuse and how we treat women in a sexual space. The not so obvious is how do we just treat women generally? day to day? How do we treat them in business? How do we treat them as intellectuals? How do we get treated? How do we expect to be treated? These kind of things are really playing with me at the moment, and I don't have good answers. I know that I've been on the wrong side my whole life because I've been brought up, socialized at an all-boys school in very patriarchy kind of spaces, that I'm in the wrong. So it's about learning about how to change that, and understanding what the socialization is, what the feelings are, before making any solutions.
All right. Well,
is that a cop out? Are you happy with that answer?
It's a start. Let's go out there and
listen. Frankly speaking, never did women's issue shows, right? Until Men Are Trash, and now we've done two shows. So the change is now upon us because of a hashtag. So if you think that things aren't changing, just look at ourselves. We think we're liberal. We've never done a show on women and women issues. Now we've done two in a row. We are going to be doing more, I'm sure. This is how it starts.
All right. Let's go out there and do it.
What do you think, Rory, before we let's go out there and do it?
I think we're eating into the time of a woman that must come after us. And that in itself is a problem. So I start now by defending your time.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us on Frankly Speaking. If you missed any of the conversation, clipcentral.com/Frankly Speaking. Let us know your thoughts as well. Hit us up on Twitter at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_Levy. We'll speak to you later.
Jovejo. CliffCentral.com.